Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Now let's read these. Actually, let's go down to verse 3. We'll deal with verse 4 tomorrow. Let's do Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. And this has to do with children. Tomorrow we'll look at the verse that has to do with fathers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that's just three little verses there, but there's a great deal of information in the text, and it's very needful for our children today. Now, granted the time of day that we normally have this broadcast, it may be that a lot of the children are going to still be tied up in school or coming home from school or tied up in some sort of a sports activity or whatever. So if you hear something in the message today that you think is something you want your children to hear or your grandchildren to hear, you're welcome to call us. I'll give you the telephone number at the end of the broadcast, or email us. I'll give you the website address, and you can email us. And tell us you want the tape. We'll be glad to send it to you. Somebody asked me one time, what do you charge for a tape? And we keep the charge down to basically what it cost us, $3 for a tape, and that's two broadcasts. It's the broadcast that you order for the day that you hear it, like today, and then whatever other broadcast is on the backside of that tape. So a buck and a half for each broadcast basically covers the expense of the tape, the shipping, the envelope, and the cost of the person to reproduce the tape and a little piece of the equipment. You keep that thing to a very minimum because we're not trying to make money off the sale of these messages. We simply want to put the thing in your hand if you would like. So at the end of this broadcast, if there's something you want to get in the way of a tape, just let us know. We'll be glad to help you any way that we can. All right, it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, Paul gives great advice on family relations, first part of Ephesians chapter 6, today for the children, tomorrow for the fathers. And the exhortation tomorrow is to the fathers, and today to the children, and the obedience and the honor is to mom and dad. Now, what happened often, dads leave the spiritual training to mom, and that's a big mistake, because fathers, the spiritual training of your family is still your responsibility. Your wife is going to do a lot, but it is your responsibility to see to it, to oversee it, and to supply it in great amount. Now, when Paul starts this exhortation here in verses 1 through 3, he starts out, first of all, to the kids. He's going to leave the children first. And here's the instruction. We'll get right to it. There's two things that children are supposed to do and three things or three reasons why they're supposed to do it. And so we'll take the text in that order. The first thing that children are supposed to do is children are supposed to obey their parents. Children, obey them. Obey your parents. And he says, in the Lord. In the Lord. In other words, when he makes the stipulation that you are to obey your parents in the Lord, he is certainly telling you that there are certain things that a father or mother could tell you to do that you're not supposed to do. I've heard of an instance, particularly in a foreign country, where a child was saved and the father, in order to try to get some money, wanted to prostitute his daughter where she was saved. She wasn't going to do that. Obviously, there is a spiritual limitation here, and the spiritual limitation is in the Lord. So if the Bible gives you instruction that it's okay to do, and your father or your mother tells you to do it, you're supposed to do it. Obviously, if they're telling you to go steal from the local grocery store so they don't have to work, or to hurt somebody, or to injure somebody, or to kill somebody, or to prostitute yourself, or something that's illegal, or to go buy a lottery ticket or to buy them some beer or buy them some cigarettes or something else like that. You know, that there is a certain line, obviously, that you don't want to cross. So he says, obey your parents in the Lord. All right, so the first thing you're to do is obey your parents. And that means you are to do what you're told, when you are told to do it, and you're to finish the job. And today it's obvious, as it has been in any generation, that it's hard for children to want to obey their parents in everything, and there's a simple reason for it. A child has a mind of his own. A child wants to do things that he wants to do. And pretty much children are not so much oriented toward responsibility if they grew up like I did. They're just oriented pretty much by what they want to do, and that's whimsical. And it's also fickle. What I want to do now and what I want to do 30 minutes from now may not be the same thing. Well, today, right this moment, I may really want to go out and throw the football, and I may get tired of that and want to go sit down in front of the television and be a couch potato 30 minutes later. There's a lot of children are very fickle. They're very whimsical. Today, they're friends with one person, and tomorrow, they all of a sudden hate that person, and they're friends with somebody else. And so, consequently, knowing this, it's very difficult for children to want to do what they're told when they are told to do it and go all the way to finish the job. It's easy to want to give up. It's easier to want to go do something else you'd rather do than what you've been told to do. And it's easy to be disobedient. Now, let me give you a good illustration from the Bible in Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah chapter 35. And notice, this is an excellent illustration of a proper obedience. This is something that went on now through generations. All right, Jeremiah chapter 35, look at verse 1. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go unto the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah. Don't you like these Old Testament names? They're a blast, aren't they? A man of God, which was by the chambers of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalem, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, Drink ye wine. Now watch this. But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, Ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons, forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab our father commanded us. Now notice, we have obeyed. You see that? Jonadab, the son of Rechab, gave them a command not to build houses, but to dwell in tents, not to drink wine. And they had done exactly what their father had told them to do and intended to carry on down to the grandchildren the very command that was given to them. So their obedience was long-lasting. It wasn't temporary. It wasn't just while Jonadab was looking. It wasn't what they necessarily wanted to do. It was what they were told to do, and in spite of what they wanted to do, they did that. Now imagine your father telling you, don't ever drink wine, and you've got to live in a tent now for the rest of your life. You can't buy a house here in Corpus Christi. You've got to go find you a piece of ground and live on that. You know, you might not be inclined to do that, but Jonadab had a reason for that. And the reason was that if they would follow his command, God would bless them. And in fact, God did. Verse 18, Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever. Now that is quite a privilege. But Jonadab had their best interest in mind, and many times when your parents tell you to do something, they have your best interest in mind. It may be that he wants you to go cut the grass, but you know something? When you're 10 or 12 years old and God and the Lord tells you, or excuse me, your father tells you that you're supposed to go cut the grass, he's teaching you how to work. Because when you get older, you're not going to learn how to do that. You have to learn that when you're young, and that's for your benefit. Now, that obedience that we see here in the Rechabites, that obedience that is given here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That obedience involves fear. Look at Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 3. Now, people would say, fear. You're not supposed to fear your parents. Watch what God says. Leviticus 19:3, ye shall fear every man, his mother, and his father. Now, that's a commandment from the Lord. Ye shall fear every man, his father, or his mother, and his father. Not just dad, not just mom, but both of them. Now, this fear comes from the fact that obedience involves enforcement. Enforcement involves punishment. That is, if you've been told to do something and you refuse to do it, then your mother or your father has the right by God to inflict a punishment of some sort that will convince you to obey them. And there's certainly a reason why they want you to do this, and we'll get to that in just a minute. There's a fear because the thing they've told you to do can be enforced by chastening. Now, there's a lot on this in the Bible. But look in Hebrews chapter 12 as an example. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. There's your children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Why? Because of verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But one of the ways the Lord proves to you and to me as his children, sons of God, that he loves us is that he will chasten us and rebuke us when we get out of line. Now, we don't like that. But he says in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So it's certainly understood that fathers are supposed to do that. Now look at verse 9. Furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, God gives us an illustration of why and how he chastens us, and the illustration is how a father chastens his child. He chastens him because he loves him. He chastens him because he wants his children to reverence him. He chastens him because it's his own pleasure to do so. And he chastens them to bring them back into line. And it's not joyous, it's grievous, it's tough on dad and tough on you, child. But there's a reason. Okay, go back to Proverbs and we'll see some of the reasons for the discipline and what's involved there. And then we'll see the fruit of it. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19, look at verse 18. Proverbs 19, look at verse 18. Now here's the instruction, the wisdom of Solomon. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Well, I've noticed something. I did this when I was a child, and I've seen my own children do it. A child will squawk, he'll cry, long before the lesson's ever been learned. So, just because you inflict some sort of a reprimand or punishment or rebuke or chastening on the child, they're liable to shed some tears right away. That doesn't mean that they have been corrected. So he says, chasten them while there's hope. Now, that means it has to be done at a very young age, because there comes a point in time when your son or your daughter is going to be too big, and any kind of chastening you apply then is going to be too late. They're already grown up and growing. You got to do this when they're very young. Proverbs chapter 23, look at verse 13, and he tells you how to apply the chastening. He says here in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Well, I realize that when a child is spanked, like I was when I was a child, they many times will squawk and fuss, and you think, oh my goodness, you know, this little child is on, life is on the line here. Well, they can scream and holler loud enough to look like it's death, but it's not that at all. He said, if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Well, there's a twofold thing here. No parent, you know, you read some pretty strange things in the paper today about some parents that don't love their children that did kill them. But the point is that you're not going to beat them so close that you bring them to the point of death. The point is you're going to supply life to them so that their life will be extended and they won't die as a result of their foolishness and stupidity. You know, in other words, you're bringing life to them with the correction. Look again in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Spanking, or applying the rod to a child, is not child abuse like you've been taught by maybe psychologists or by the Department of Human Services or by school. Using the rod of correction is not child abuse because it doesn't leave lasting marks. It only leaves lasting impressions on the mind. You see, there seems to be a nerve connected to the rear end and the brain. And when there's a little correction applied to the rear end, it has a tendency to wake up the nerve in the brain and drive out some foolishness, instill some life in the child, and a supply of correction that cannot be applied any other way. Now, they have institutions today that are called correctional institutions. They're prisons. They are jails. But generally, what they found there with the rate of recidivism, that is, the number of people that come back, is that they are not really correctional institutions at all. They are not corrected at an older age by simply putting them behind bars. Many of the men that don't show up back in jail, or the women that don't show back in jail, are people that got saved while they were there, and the Holy Spirit actually changed their lives. It's too late to reform somebody when they're older. This all has to take place in childhood. That's why it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Withhold not correction from the child. Chasten thy son while there is hope. It all has to be done at a very young age. And children, if you don't allow your parents to do this, and parents, if you don't do this for your children, then you don't really love them. You're not really giving them the correction that they need. Now, in schools and many times in psychologists' office, we are told, and this isn't across the board, I'm just saying in some of them, we are told that parental authority is now replaced in the school, and to remove the fear, that fear is a bad motive. But you know what? The child suffers if he doesn't learn to fear mom and dad and also learn to obey. It is a holy fear, not a fear like you cower and run away from them every time they show up. It's just that when they say what they say, you understand that they mean it and that they're willing to enforce it. And because you're afraid of the enforcement, you will do what you're told. What's the purpose of this? Why do that? And the reason is very simple. The purpose behind it is very simple. You are trying to train the child, and child, your parents are trying to train you so that when you get old enough, I'm talking about 14, 16, 17, 18 years old, when you read something in the Bible, that you will learn to fear God, because the beginning of wisdom is fear of God. You'll learn to fear God, and when God shows you something, you will do it on the first time that he tells you and not wait for him to rebuke you or reprimand you or correct you or something else. You know, God can chasten you, but if you believe what he says and you do what he says the first time he tells you, your life is going to be much better. Now, somebody says, well, if you don't do this, obviously you don't love your children. Well, listen, love is something that must be there between the child and the parent. But let me tell you something. Obedience is not for conditional love. People mess that thing up. People say, if you do this, I will love you so much more. If you perform well in this play, or if you do well in school, I'll love you so much more. If you do what I tell you to do, I will love you so much more. And if you don't, I'm not going to love you as much. Then your love for your child, and child, your love for your parents, is then conditional upon your performance and behavior. Let me tell you something. Love goes beyond performance and behavior. Love between a father and his child, or between a child and his father, or between a mother and her child, or a child and his or her mother, is unconditional. It's a parental and child love that should be there regardless of performance or behavior. Obedience is outside of that. Obedience, you do that because that's what you were told to do. You do that because it involves fear. You do that because you honor them. Love, on the other hand, is totally and absolutely unconditional. If it's ever made conditional, you're going to end up with a warped family. All right, now here he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He also says, honor thy father and thy mother. Well, what is that? That's a commandment. In Exodus chapter 12, we read about that commandment. Excuse me, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we read that commandment. And notice, it is a commandment with promise. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that commandment, as he says here, is the first commandment with promise. But notice something, and even Jesus Christ deals with this in the New Testament. Notice this in Matthew chapter 15, that if a child would fail to honor his father and his mother, do you know what the consequence of that was? The death penalty. And I know you find that really, really harsh, but look what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. Matthew 15, 4, God commanded. Now, he's telling you what a commandment was. God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. There was a death penalty if you simply cursed your father or your mother. Now, there are a lot of children that say that old sorry blankety-blank or blankety-blank you, Dad, or blankety-blank you, Mom. If that were in the Old Testament, you'd be dead. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's been the problem with a lot of people not believing the Bible. But turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 21, and you'll see it. Days today are much better than they were in the Old Testament when you concern the way children are treated. As a matter of fact, children are spoiled today. The worst punishment that's leveled against a child today is a simple time out. That's not going to do anything. That's not going to do anything for the child at all. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Okay, we're right here in context with what we're dealing with in Ephesians chapter 6. When they have chastened him, that's the first thing they're supposed to do, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Well, there are a lot of high school students that are like that today. There are a lot of college students that are like that today. There are a lot of junior high students that are just like this today. What was the consequence? Verse 21, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That is the Old Testament command of God that Jesus Christ quotes in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 15. The duty and responsibility of the parents, first of all, was to chasten that child. Well, today, parents are forbidden to do that by the Department of Human Services. I don't think that the Department of Human Services is really has your children's interest at heart. I really don't. We have a doctrine today, a law today, that allows parents to arbitrarily kill their babies when they're still in the womb, and then you can't lay a hand on them after they're born. And they say that's because they love the children. They don't love the children, or they would allow those children to be born and not to be aborted. So you've got a real hypocrisy here. The only way, according to God who created us, that you're going to ever straighten out a child is with chastening. Now, in this case, if the child was still stubborn and rebellious after chastening, he died. Well, there, boy, I'll tell you what, that's something to really fear. So you are to honor your mother and your father, and you are to obey your mother and your father. Well, why would you do that? Well, not only out of fear, but there's three reasons in the text why you would do that. The first reason is because it's right. Because it's right to do that. You say, well, whoever thought of doing anything just because it was right? Well, the greatest two words in the English language are do right. If you'll do right, everything will work out right. I remember having an old friend of mine up in his 90s that came to me one day, and we were visiting, and he said, my mother told me, William, don't you ever fight when you're wrong. He said, you know, I was young and I was rambunctious, and I went down to the gambling hall. He said, I was gambling there and I had the high hand, but there was a lot of money on the table, and I got ready to take the winnings, and a fella pulled a 45 on me, and I left. He said, didn't you say anything? I said to him, didn't you say anything to anybody? Didn't you put up a fuss? He said, I couldn't. I was wrong, and my mother told me, never fight when you're wrong. I was wrong for being there in the first place. See that? Now, in the Old Testament, God laid down a thing for his children, the Jews. He said to them, I'm going to give you some statutes, I'm going to give you some rules, and I want you to do these things. And if you do those things, it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. God wants you, by your parents, to learn how to do what you're told so that when he tells you what to do, you'll do it. And the only way you can is to do right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because it's right. Second reason, so that you may be well. So that you may be well. He says there in verse 3, that it may be well with thee. Well, look, when your mother or your father does something for you, and it involves a command and it involves an enforcement, listen, the whole purpose behind that is for your good. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13, 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Well, your parents have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Obviously, it is a joy to a parent not to have to correct a child because they're doing what they're told. And it's a grief for a parent. Don't you ever hear your parents say, "This hurts me worse than it hurts you"? But watch it, what he says. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Why? For that is unprofitable for you. So this whole thing is for your profit. Listen, the prodigal son took off from home because he wanted to live it up, right? And later on, when he finally realized that he had wasted everything that he had, he said, my father's servants have it better than I do. I'll go back and just be one of his servants. It wasn't well with him. Why? He disobeyed his parents. And the third reason that you should do this is why? Because he says in verse 3, that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's a promise from God. He will extend your life. I have on this piece of paper three names of people written, you can think of many yourself, who are dead now because they didn't obey their parents. One, the parents had to work at night. They told the boy, stay at home. He didn't. He snuck out with some kids. They had a car wreck and he died. Another, his father told him, he knew he was on dope. He said, you need to get off that dope. You need to get some help. The boy didn't, and he overdosed and died. He committed suicide. Another was told, I went to school with the fella to obey. He was to obey the people that were in charge of him. He didn't. He fell and nearly broke his back on a rope, and later on he died. Why? He was a disobedient child. Death comes when you don't obey. The Lord said, I promise you, child, that if you'll obey your parents and honor your parents, you will live long on the earth. That's a promise from God. And so you need to keep that promise. I mean, God will keep that promise. You need to be obedient. And parents, you don't need to be afraid to do the right thing in chastening your children. Now, we'll talk about this more tomorrow, about what's involved there. Not ever in explosive anger, simply as a method of correction to straighten things out. He says here in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Well, do that. I asked an old-timer friend of mine that was 90 years old. I said, how come you've lived so long? He said, I always did what my mom and daddy told me to do. Do it.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.